All right. So, okay. Well, good. Glad to have you guys here. Welcome to Carlsbad Bible Church. I see some new faces I hadn't seen in a while. We're excited to be here. Just a quick note. We made it back, I guess you guys have realized, from Camp Region, right? Appreciate all the young disciples that made it to that. We had a good time. Hopefully that you guys were challenged. I was challenged. Noah, were you challenged? Yeah? No? Maybe? Okay. Silas? Physically? Oh, okay. All right. Hayden, how about you? A little bit of everything. Chloe? Yes. Miss Julia, where are you at? You're hiding back there? You're turning red on me? Yes. I'll tell you what. Miss Murley, were you challenged? You were? Okay, good. If you've never had a chance to sit down and listen to the testimonies of your children, I would encourage you to do that. And it's a blessing just to hear how they came to the Lord. I didn't hear all of them, but those who did, it's amazing. Teach them how to do that. Teach them how to share their testimony of God's goodness and what God has done in their lives. And so that's a tool that we can use, right? Again, very beautiful. It was touching to me. So we had a worship night on Sunday, and since we're such a small group and all of our kids, you know, claim to be believers, I said, well, let's hear about our testimonies, right? And so there's a few of us that did. So that was a blessing. The messages that we got to hear were very deep theologically. As soon as they come out, maybe we'll post it on our site or maybe on our Facebook page so everybody can hear if you want to go back and listen to them yourselves. And that way the parents, if you want to hear what your children were taught, you can go back and look at that as well, too. So I don't know if I was, I guess Clarissa was there. She was mine. So where is Clarissa? I didn't get that chance to ask her. Oh, there you are. Were you challenged, too? Yeah? Okay, good. Physically, definitely? Okay, all right. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you all came back a little bit buffer then, both physically and in the Lord, okay? And so anyways, it was rough because we had VBS the week before. We were all feeling a little bit sick. Well, most of us were. So we had a week to get prepared. And I appreciate some of you who come to the house and brought me some medicine and vitamins. And man, it was just, I think it was all that helped me out. I tried some different cocktails I've never tried before. And it was good. So So welcome to Carlsbad Bible Church. My name is Ray, those who don't know me. And I'm one of the elders here at the church. Let's open up our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll get started here. Go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. When you have it, Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to go 2:6, and then we're going to go down until maybe 2:8. Okay, here we go. Colossians 2, let's go through stick with my original plan. Verse 8. Okay, here we go. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily, and in him you have been made complete. He is a head over all rule and authority." Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. I pray, Lord, that the traditions of men are not something that we hold as authoritative, Lord. Sometimes they're good to have and things in our cultures, Lord, or maybe in religion, but they are not the authority, Lord. I pray that you help us as we evaluate those things today and maybe even next week, Lord. I pray that you are lifted up today. I pray that the message today is clear to you. I pray that you be with Jesus as he teaches as well, that you give him peace of mind, peace of heart. And Lord, I pray for myself as I get ready to do the kids' message, Lord. We just thank you for today. We thank you for the worship team and the work that they've done to praise you, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful day to learn from the words and the songs of who you are and what you've done. God, we praise you for the living word you've given to us to allow us to study you and to know you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for this once again. We praise you for your righteousness, Lord. It is in your name we pray, amen.
All right, can you guys hear me pretty well? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Hopefully y'all are doing well. My name's Jesus, for some of you who don't know me. I mostly help with the worship team, and I run a little Bible studies on Wednesday nights with college and career. And Owen wanted to give me, and the eldership of Carlsbad wanted to give me an opportunity to present a message to you guys, and be going through Mark 7 this morning. And as it being my first time in front of you guys, just please give me feedback, anything that could help, even if it's critical. That's fine with me. So don't be afraid to tell me. But let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Mark 7. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem, and they had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with defiled hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy, you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men.' Leaving the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." And he was also saying to them, "You are good at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever you might benefit from me is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer leave him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your traditions, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that.'" Owen, can you lift us up in prayer as we begin? Thank you. So before we begin, I want to give an introduction to our two main groups of people that are going to be talking about. The first is going to be the scribes and then the Pharisees along with them. So with the Pharisees, they are of two major religious groups mentioned in the Bible, the others being the Sadducees. And what separates the Pharisees from the Sadducees is the Pharisees follow these laws that have been passed down since around the time of the Babylonian captivity, and they call these the oral traditions. Now, the traditions are like a fence to the biblical laws. They are acting almost like a line of defense, so that the real laws that God has given to them possibly won't get violated. And then later in our message, we will talk about how this oral traditions or these laws are problematic in the culture for the Pharisees. Now going to the scribes. The scribes are people that have met any literary or diplomatic needs. In other sense, they're the ones that write things for the Pharisees or interpret letters for them. And in this case, these scribes are going to be specifically under the Pharisees. So they're probably Pharisees themselves, but they're considered scribes because of their diplomatic knowledge in writing text. So beginning in verse 1, and the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem. So with all the teachings and miracles Jesus had performed, it seems that it once again has garnered the attention or has grabbed the attentions of the Pharisees and the scribes from the main city of Jerusalem. So they likely got word from their Galilean brothers. So the Jerusalem is probably the main center where all of your religious groups are, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. So you have the smaller branch, probably the Galilean people have seen what Jesus was doing. And it wasn't too far ago that we saw Jesus feeding a multitude of 5,000 people and or plus than that. Scripture only told us it was 5,000 men. So we see the teaching of Jesus and the miracle of the food. And out of all of this, there were only, out of all the 5,000 people, only Jesus was able to feed all of them with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. So the last time we see an interaction with the Pharisees and Jesus was in chapter 3, verses 22 through 30, when the Lord had casted out demons. And if you guys remember, the Pharisees were telling Jesus that he had to have been from Beelzebub if he could do this kind of work. So now that they have gathered once again, being the religious groups, they are watching closely to see if they can't find something to use against Jesus. And now if we read in verse 2, they might have found something that they could. And had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with defiled hands, that is, unwashed. So verse 2 is referring to, again, the scribes and Pharisees. So if we just read the word just as is, it's kind of not easy for us to see the gravity of the situation of why this is such an issue for the Pharisees and scribes. Why does it bother them so much that their hands were unwashed and defiled? So let's go into it and see why that is. And then if we quickly glance at verse 3, we see that Mark writes that by the washing of the hands, the Jewish people would be following in the traditions of the elders. And this is the end of verse 3. But if we glance, if we look a minute real quick, so what about the laws that were given to Moses by God himself? If you guys read through the Old Testament, I don't see any commandments from the Lord to Moses about them not eating with unwashed hands. So you see the religious leaders are not only adding things to Scripture in a way, but they're putting their own traditions and laws above the authority of God. So let me read to you guys a section from a book by Alfred Edersheim. And he says that to neglect it, which is the law of cleansed hands, was like being guilty of gross cardinal defilement. Its omission would lead to temporal destruction, or at least to poverty. Bread eaten with unwashed hands was as it had been filth. And indeed, a rabbi who had held this command in contempt would actually be buried in excommunication. So what Alfred was saying was he's just giving us an example of how much the rabbis or the Pharisees look down on people that didn't follow these rules. And he also continues by saying, although at one time it had only been of the marks of the Pharisees, yet at a later period to wash before eating was regarded as affording the ready means of recognizing a Jew. So in other words, Alfred is saying here at the end is that the Pharisees believe that one who follows these laws are seen as Jews or recognized as ones. So they didn't think the other Jews who disregarded these laws, they thought of them as lesser. They said a true Jew would follow these laws, and that's what the culture of the Jew is. That's the pinnacle of it, is those who follow faithfully to their oral traditions. But the religious leaders are missing everything about what the Old Testament was proclaiming. All right, the Lord chose a man with great faith named Abraham. And the Lord said that he would be the father of a great nation. And as we read later on, and what we're teaching the kids, is that Abraham comes along, and we see through his line there's 12 tribes, and they usually refer to the 12 tribes of Jacob. But all Jews are descendant of one of these tribes, and that's how they are able to distinguish themselves as a Jewish culture. So the law the Lord gave to his people was there to separate themselves from other nations to glorify Christ in their existence. In, as a nation, their existence was to glorify Christ with these laws handed down in the Septuagint through Moses written down. Now, but unlike the leaders in Jesus' time, the laws of the religious leaders, which are the oral traditions that they're accusing Jesus of, they were there to uplift the man, and these laws were not God-breathed. Now, in Matthew 15:20, I would urge you guys to either write this down in your notes or put a little bookmark there, because we'll be referring to Mark's account of this section, and that starts in chapter 15. And we'll kind of be going back and forth a little bit during this text. So in the first half of the verse, the Lord tells his disciples, these are the things which defile the man. Well, what is it? What is the Lord telling them? Well, if we go back one verse into verse 19, Jesus answers this question for us. He tells us that we see evil thoughts, we see murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false witness, and slanderers. This is what the Lord sees as defilement. And then going back to verse 20, we read the second half of it. It says, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Again, this emphasizes the fact or the point that these laws the Pharisees added are unbiblical. They're from man and not from God. So now if we go back to the washing of the hands, I want to give you guys an expectation from the Jewish culture of how they should do it and what it looked like to do it. So first their hands were either lifted up, probably something like this, and the water would run down from the tips of their fingers all the way down to their wrist to ensure that the whole hand was covered in washed in water. And if any dirty water that came from the tips of the fingers stayed on their palm or anywhere near their hand and didn't go fully to the wrist, their hand was still considered to be defiled, and they would have to redo the cleansing again of the hands. So now after reading this myself during my studies, I could see how burdensome this law could get, because not only did they have to do this before every meal, they had to do this every meal, and that would be exhausting, just to be ready for a meal after a long day, and you had to wash your hands before you could eat, right? And this is only one law. The Jews had a lot more, and in fact, they had so much that later on, somebody finally decided to write it all down into something known as the Mishnah. And the Mishnah has all of the oral traditions or laws of the Jewish people. And moving to verse 3 and 4 in Mark, we see, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. So again, I'm going to reference Matthew 15. And this is going to be verses 1 through 2. Matthew 15, verses 1, starts where Mark 7 starts, verses 1. And I want to give a parallel to these two accounts from these different authors. So reading verse 1, it says, then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. So what we just read was the same interactions of the scribes and Pharisees confronting Jesus about his disciples. But why doesn't Mark include verses 3 and 4? If you read on, it already goes into the account of the arguments, the exchange of words between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees. But in Mark, Mark takes his time to add a couple extra verses, and we're going to talk about why, which is the 3 and 4. So Matthew doesn't include these three verses, but Mark does. Well, if we understand the purpose of these two authors or writers and to whom their audience is, we see that Matthew is focused on the Jewish people. And that is why he starts out by writing the genealogy of Abraham. If we go to Matthew 1, he starts off the bat, you know, talking about the genealogy from Abraham and ending with Jesus. Now, this is important to the Jewish people because that is what the Lord had promised to them. He promised that that the seed would come from Abraham. But for Mark, he is writing to the Gentile people. They do not know the extent of the traditions that the Jews have been doing for so long. This is why Mark adds verses 3 and 4 to his writings. He understands his audience and that he knows that they are not from the Jewish culture. Now going again to Mark. Verses 3 is expounding on what verse 2 had said and about the eating with defiled hands. And then if we go to verse 4 in Mark, he gives the extent of the cleansing of the ordinance, which is the cleansing law. So we see that the Jews are required to wash themselves when coming back from the marketplace. And they do this because at the marketplace, they could possibly bump into a Gentile or even a Samaritan or even another Jew who was not ceremonially unclean. So verse 5 is now the confrontation between Jesus and the leaders. They say, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands?" And Jesus responded by saying, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. Leaving the commandments of God, you hold to the traditions of men.'" So I wanted to read all four of these verses, 5 through 8. I think it's I want to explain this as a group or as a whole conversation. So if we start in verse 5, breaking it down, we see that we get a verbal confrontation. So verse 1 and 2, Mark was kind of alluding to the thoughts of the scribes and Pharisees. And verses 5 is where Matthew verses 1 starts. It's the verbal interaction between these two groups. So after this statement in verse 5 by the religious Jews, Jesus then responds by calling them hypocrites. Now, what hypocrites do is they say one thing and then act opposite of that statement. So why are they hypocrites? It's because they seem to be living a holy life by following all these man-made rules. They show themselves to be men of the Bible by doing so, but in reality, their hearts are unrepentant and corrupt. Then the Lord quotes from Isaiah 29:13, and this is verses 6 through 7. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men." So why the Lord chose this scripture? Well, this is because during Isaiah's time, the prophets before were not being faithful to declare God's word to his people, the nation of Israel. So because of this, the nation started regressing back to a paganistic way, returning to the desires of their hearts. So the Lord is saying that the Pharisees too are like the people in Isaiah's time, saying that they praise with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And in verse 7 of Mark, their worship is in vain, because it derives from the commandments of men and not of Scripture. And verse 8 emphasizes this again by saying that they leave the commandments of God for the traditions of men. And I like what MacArthur had to say on this, and I'm going to read a little excerpt from his commentary. He says, "First century Judaism, like all forms of apostate religion, elevated man-made traditions above the teachings of Scripture. The Pharisees prized their worship and heartfelt obedience. Outwardly, they paid homage to God with their lips, but inwardly, their calloused hearts were far from him. So because they had never transformed on the inside, their attempts to worship God were inevitably hypocritical. But true worship, by contrast, flows from the soul that has been regenerated and eagerly seeks to honor and submit to the will of the Lord. And as Jesus explains in John 4:24, the only worship God accepts is that from the Spirit, from the heart, and in truth, according to sound doctrine. As self-righteous hypocrites who rejected the Messiah, the Pharisees failed on both of these accounts. Moving to verse 9. Verse 9 echoes this sentiment. It says, "And he was also saying to them, 'You are good at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions.' The Pharisees and scribes have accused Jesus and his disciples of a serious offense. But in reality, they are the ones guilty before God. They are leading themselves and all those who follow to an eternal judgment. But at least they will be judged with clean hands." So Jesus continues by quoting more scripture to illustrate his point. After we move from verse 9, we're going to go to verse 10 and 11. This is going to be an illustration point from Jesus. He's not now confronting them, but he's also going to explain to them one of their hypocritical teachings. So verse 10, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever you might benefit from me is Corban, that is to say, given to God.'" In verse 10, Jesus quotes the fifth commandment from the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And then he follows up by stating the consequence of breaking this command. And that's going to be at the end of verse 10. They would be put to death. And verse 11 shows us an example of how the scribes and Pharisees twisted this so that it would benefit themselves and the people. And the verse 11 reads, "If a man says to his father or his mother, 'Whatever you might benefit from me is Corban,' that is to say, given to God." The word Corban is a Hebrew term that means devoted to, given to God, and referring to offerings of money or material goods. It could be anything that they deemed in their eyes. So I want to give you guys an example of what it might have been during this time. So let's say a son during this time would withhold support for his parents by declaring either his property or anything he deems valuable to himself to be dedicated to God or Corban, and thus that would be making it off limits to his parents. How is this honoring to your father and mother? Well, it clearly isn't, and Jesus calls him out on this in verse 12 by saying that you no longer leave him to do anything for his father or his mother. So what the scribes and Pharisees have done is completely give an escape to those that don't want the responsibility of honoring their parents by providing for them in their times of need. And it makes them look good by declaring that it was set apart for God, but in reality, it was nothing more but a way out for these people. Jesus then brings it back to verse 13. He says, "Thus invalidating the word of God by your traditions, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." Jesus lays it out for them here. He tells them that these traditions are invalidating the word of God. And this is far from the only thing they allow, as seen in the second half of verse 13. The Lord tells them that you do many things such as that. This is just one example of many things he could have said. They hold these traditions above the scripture itself, and that's the root of the problem that we were reading. But they don't see that because they are blinded by their self-glorification by honoring their traditions of the elders or their forefathers. So this section in Mark is going to lead into Stephen's message next week about the heart of man. So I hope I led you guys through verses 1 through 13 in today's teaching of the human efforts to elevate man's religious traditions above God's authority, authoritative word, and this will not be met with God's approval. So if we think by showcasing our man-made religious acts before God is earning us special favor, then we are not pleasing God, but pleasing man and serving ourselves. And that's what we read that the Pharisees and scribes have done. They hold their culture to the standard of perfection. They say that this is scripture and that This is what makes a Jew, by honoring these laws. But it clearly isn't what the Lord intended for his nation whenever he set them apart in the Old Testament. He wanted them to be the light for the Gentile, for the rest of the world, pretty much. But the Pharisees, although it sounded good on paper to put these fences so they could honor the Lord, where they went wrong is putting it above Scripture and forcing everyone to conform to this non-doctrinal teachings. So a love that comes from, God is pleased with the heart that is obedient to his word and out of sincere love for God, a love that comes from him because he is manifesting this love within us by the Holy Spirit. And then later in the Gospel of Mark, when the scribes were debating amongst themselves about what the great commandment was, Jesus replied, this is in Mark 12, verses 29 through 31. He says, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So I hope as we leave today that we reread and we understand the failures of the Pharisees and scribes. We pray that we don't make that mistake of putting our own desires above what Scripture tells us. Let's go on to prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for the eldership, Lord, to allow me to guide the church through these verses, Lord. I pray that the failure of the Pharisees and will allow us to understand where the true point is, Lord. It's to glorify you and in your words, Lord, your commandments. And Lord, I pray for Stephen, Lord, next week as he prepares for his, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.